As you've heard, my name is Njoroge. I work with Plant International in Kenya. I'm presenting on how to use innovative community organizations to improve the survival of rural children in Kenya. It's based on a program that we implemented for from 04 to last year, September. It was a USAID funded project that was implemented in Kilifi district in Kenya. This is Kenya on the global map, and this is where the project was implemented. It's Kilifi district at the coastal part of the country. Now, this project was looking at interventions that basically cause high child mortality in the country. Looking at malaria is a major killer in the country and cause of major cause of morbidity in the country. 30% of outpatient consultations in the country are by malaria, and about 14 to 16% of mortality in the country for children is caused by malaria. Diarrhea, of course, it's a major killer. We know it's the second biggest killer of children under fives. Malnutrition is a predisposing factor for child mortality. We're also looking at immunization on childhood vaccine preventable diseases. And pneumonia, definitely pneumonia case management. We know that pneumonia is a major killer of children under five. And we had a little bit of HIV programming. Because when we wrote the proposal to USAID, they told us that there's a lot of money that is going into the district and into the country on HIV programming to other agencies. So we're told to scale down on HIV, but all the same, we still had that on health education. So the project itself was implemented in that 357 villages in five out of the seven administrative divisions of Kilifi district in Kenya. So as you can see, it was fairly an expansive project covering a large area. And the target population was around 260,000, of which 43% were children under five and women of reproductive age. So the project itself was looking into how to reduce morbidity and mortality of children under five and women of reproductive age in a sustainable manner. And the specific objective of this project, which ran for 5 years, was to promote key family and community health practices and also to increase family and community access to appropriate health care and health information. It's one thing to promote those key health practices, but also you should also make sure that these services are accessible to the community. We're also looking into ways of building capacity of the health system, that is the Ministry of Health personnel, community health workers, and others, NGOs and community-based organizations who are involved in health work in Kilifi, so that they are able to provide appropriate management of sick children in case they get sick. And then the fourth specific objective of our project, we were looking into strengthening of health facility committees and local-based organizations. This would allow to bring in the issue of sustainability, the one we're talking about in the goal here. So how did we implement this project that we implemented for 5 years until September last year? We were using community mobilization through care groups. And in the next slide, I'm going to show you how we were able to do this and what is this care group. And the objective of this mobilization was to generate a dialogue among various stakeholders, the foremost health system, the community, other service providers, and that this would help them to challenge the status quo and plan for change where children were dying and also mothers or women of reproductive age were dying in childbirth. So we were also facilitating support groups, and these are support groups. The end of this was to bring in the social pressure, like what Rita was explaining about the institution of breastfeeding. This social pressure for behavior change, and also to create a critical mass. that would bring in information, generate information, and then the community would analyze this information and then plot for action. For example, they would see that in a certain village, mothers are not taking their children for immunization. Then they would see how do we engage these mothers to make sure that they take their children for immunization. And then the issue of, thank you. And these small successes would generate confidence and empowerment, bringing in the issue of if you get small, we are going to go for bigger results. And we also are mobilizing community through the village health committees. In Kenya, we do have those village health committees, which is a lower level way of mobilizing communities for services. Now, this is a care group approach. During the visioning of this project, when the community, together with the project team and the Ministry of Health and the partners, they were looking at the best way to reduce the mortality, child mortality rate in the district, and they were asking themselves which is the best way they could use to mobilize, to change the situation, mobilizing communities for services, creating that demand, and making sure that there's that access to these health services. So when they were still brainstorming in that session, one old man reminded everybody in the room that sometimes back, one of the political parties in the country had used a system that where when decisions were made at the national level, they would trickle down all the way to the household level. So they thought that would be a good way of engaging, a good strategy for passing information from the former health system going all the way to the household level. And this is how they came up with the care group approach. So they said that for the in the villages, a village is basically a cluster of households or homesteads. So they said for every 10 or so homesteads here, they would nominate, the households would nominate one person who would become a health contact. So 10 homesteads here would produce one person who became the health contact. And then out of around 10 health contacts, these 10 contacts here, one of them would be specially trained to become a health worker, community health worker. And then out of 5 health workers, one was trained to become a master trainer. So basically, health from information from the former health system would come to this master trainer, who would sit with their cohort of their community health workers, who would pass this information to the health contacts. And these health contacts are basically people who are living in these 10 allocated households. So they would pass this information when they're going to the river to fetch water, when they're going to the forest to pick firewood, when they're going to the market to take their produce or buy stuff. So they would basically be using those opportunities to pass this information. Like, for example, it's good that when you get to know that you're pregnant, you initiate an antenatal clinic immediately. For men, it's good that you save money to make sure that your wife has some money to take to the hospital when it comes to childbirth. So other methods we are using basically is that when we have those structures, we were going to train them. And we train those community health workers and the master trainers and the village health committees on simplified versions of IMCI, Integrated Management of Childhood Illnesses, the community version of it. We're also training them on the issue of community-based malnutrition rehabilitation of children on PD health, positive deviance health. And also because of diarrhea, we are using community-led total sanitation to promote sanitation and hygiene in the community. We were also doing health system strengthening. We are training the health workers, again, on IMCI, Integrated Management of Childhood Illnesses, on the expanded program on immunization, and again, on positive deviance health. And also, we are supporting supplies and logistics, for example, having antibiotic buffer stocks, for example, on pneumonia case management, and also distribution and purchase of mosquito nets. And of course, we are supporting the issue of health outreaches going to the hard-to-reach areas. We were going through children to we are using child to child clubs. These are clubs basically in schools for children becoming agents of change in their community. First of all, to their fellow students, and then to their families and the community, where children get to learn, like for example, on how to prevent malaria, that you need to sleep under a net, and they tell this information to their fellow children. Then they go, when they go home, they pass this information to their parents, and if they don't have nets, they then would pressure their parents to buy them nets, and then this information definitely will go around in the community. And to guess to gauge where we were going or where we were at. On various indicators, we were using lots quality assurance sampling. These are the indicators that we are having: malaria, we are having malnutrition, diarrhea prevention, immunization, pneumonia, and HIV/AIDS. For example, when we started the mother second dose of tetanus toxoid was at 24%, and we are targeting to go up to 60%. So it's basically showing the indicators. Now, showing the results, for those 5 years, we're able to mobilize 1,400 care groups. And one thing I wanted to point out is the issue of a skilled birth delivery. Health facility-based deliveries rose from 13% to 35%, although this wasn't a planned activity or planned intervention in our activities. Basically, this one came as a result of community mobilization. And then the proportion of underweight children fell from 27% at the baseline up to 14% when we were coming to the end of the project. And then the number of lives that we were able to save was estimated to be at least 989 using the life saved calculator. And here we are showing project staff, and actually this is a Ministry of Health staff during a celebration, and they are basically recognizing community health workers. This is a care group going on. The results, we're able to raise, for example, here, the ITNs use at the beginning, only 1 in 5 children were sleeping under a mosquito net. We are targeting to go at 50, but we're able to go the way to 77%. And as I said, the issue of second dose of tetanus toxoid for mothers, pregnant mothers, it was at 24 at the beginning, targeting to go at 60. We are able to surpass that one to 7%. Children who are exclusively breastfed were at 1%. We are targeting that one. We are able to go there at 55%. And basically the same thing about immunization. We were at baseline, we were at 62, we're targeting 74, we're able to go all the way to 77. And for fully immunized children, by their first birthday, we're able to go up there to 82%. And some views from participants saying that this is a male participant from a village called Usangani. He's saying that we now do not attend many funerals like we used to do. It is rare to hear of a woman dying at childbirth. The same is true for young children. And there's another CHW here, a female CHW. She's saying that after seeing that children exclusively breastfed for 6 months are healthier, all people who prohibited their daughters-in-law to exclusively breastfed now support the practice. Again, you can see the changes which are able to be brought about by that model of community mobilization for services. And we are saying that care group is an effective community mobilization tool, and we need to be taking it more, and it is more sustainable, because as we talk, communities are linked with the households, and again, they are linked with the formal health system. And as we talk, communities now are rolling out those strategies like PD Health and community-led to sanitation in the community. And the community-based health programming is empowering the community. They're able to even to go and demand and negotiate for improved health services from the formal health system. There are various challenges, like community mobilization. It takes time. The first 2 years were basically dedicated to mobilization. And there's also high volunteer attrition rate, you know, because in Kenya, CHWs, community health workers, are not paid. So basically, when they find work elsewhere, they just leave the work they are doing, though they wouldn't like to do that. But because they have to earn a living, they just leave it and they move on. And then the issue of a drought and food insecurity makes it difficult to reduce malnutrition in a sustainable manner. So we are recommending that there should be a scale-up of this model to other areas like HIV/AIDS. There should also be a mechanism by the government and the health system to compensate the CHWs, and also looking for ways and mechanisms to help to have CHWs giving basic treatment like oral rehabilitation solutions, because like now in Kenya, they can't be able to do that. Thank you for your time.
We can take about 3 or 4 minutes for questions. Yeah?
Yep. You mentioned PDR.
Yes.
I
said PD Health is Positive Deviant Health. This is a community-based rehabilitation approach for malnourished children in the community. Basically, what it does is that the basic principle here is that in every community, there are those people who have deviated from the norm. The norm here is malnutrition in that particular village, but there are mothers or there are parents in that particular village who have deviated from that norm of malnutrition. So their children are not malnourished. So you go to them and ask them, since they are not any better, their socioeconomic status are not any better than those people whose children are malnourished, you ask them, what is it that you're doing that makes your children to be healthy? So you use those ones as an example to their peers, to their fellow mothers and parents, to tell them what they are doing exactly with their children. So it is positive deviant health. Health is basically a place for cooking, I guess. We all know that. CLTS is community, I said, is community-led total sanitation. Here you use the community, you go to a community and facilitate them, analyze their sanitation behaviors to get to see that open defecation, which causes diarrhea, is basically polluting the environment, and it's actually making them sick. So, but you don't tell them that. I mean, we're basically using peer participatory learning and action methodologies. You make them, you go through with them analyzing their behaviors until they come to realize actually what they are doing is harming them. So that is community-led representation. It's community who are leading this this approach. Thank you.
There's a question back there.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'll start with the last one about care group and whether the government can be able to pick it up without support from other agencies. Yeah, actually the government was, through this project, the government was able to see somewhere midway, in the fourth year of this project, the government picked up the care group model to make it a national policy. Nowadays, as we talk, the community is the first level of healthcare in Kenya. Before, the first level of care was a dispensary, but there was that huge gap between the community and the first level of formal health system. So the government, using results from this project, so they need to have that that level, community level care. So that one was picked up by the government. Now it's a policy. It is being rolled out. It's called Community Health Strategy by the government. Now, going to the first point you're asking about the high attrition rate for community health workers, the reason they do that is because they're not compensated financially. And though they are not meant to be volunteering the whole day, but sometimes it calls for that because the distance between a health facility from the house to the health facility it's so big. So the first point of contact is a community health worker. So whatever arises in the community always go to this person. So even though they're meant to volunteer for only a few hours in a day, they might end up like most of the day they're out there with the community trying to solve their health problem because the facility is way too far. So, but we have seen situations whereby various units of care groups, they come together and they come to look into ways they can be able to have income generating activities. For example, one group was able to come up with Okay, during the trainings we are having, we used to cook, we used to make lunch for them. So, and we would hire a hotel to, you know, we'd outsource from a hotel to bring this food to this community, to these groups when you're training them. Now, these care groups have told us, we don't need a hotel to do this for us. Why can't we cook for ourselves? We come earlier before the training sessions. Then the money you pay to this hotel, you give it to us. And we gave to them. And they use that one as seed money to buy dairy goats. Now, dairy goats, now they have gone from 10 dairy goats, I think now they're going on to 20. And they're giving this dairy goats to their own members. So you can see there's that spin-off going on from just health and going on into livelihoods. So, but the government needs to look into that, you know, ways of motivating this community health workers.
This is fascinating, and I'm sure we could go on another 20 minutes. I want to thank all of our presenters and all of you for being here.